man, like, do we have to do this? I don't have any this week.
Every week, yes, we have to do this.
Yeah, well, we don't have to do it. We get to do it.
That would be correct. But, so be excited. You get to be on Daily Titan Pod.
You're so right. You know what? Let me find that excitement and let me bring that to the people. All right. Hang on. I'm looking for it right now. Oh, I found it. What's going on, Titans? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Titan Podcast, or DT Pod for short. In today's episode, we're going to be breaking down volume 117, issue number 10 of the Daily Titan student newspaper. In today's issue, we're going to be talking about the recent Beyond the Conversation that happened on campus. We're also going to be going over the results of the ASI elections. We're also going to be doing an opinion on club hours and extracurriculars, as well as a little sports roundup about Cal Baptist and softball. Stay tuned. Oh, and before I forget, just so that way you don't forget, I'm your news design editor, Kabir Kansar, and I'm joined with my co-host,
Jaden Lovelady, the opinion editor. All right, guys, to kick off this week's episode, we're starting with his season 2 debut, Mr. Brian Jimenez, our associate managing editor.
Yo. Welcome back. Hello, hi. Thank you for having me.
Does it feel different, like season 2?
It feels higher quality.
Yeah? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The vibes are good?
The vibes are great. Okay, yeah. Good.
What did you come here to talk about?
I came here to talk about a very special guest who came to our campus last week for our latest Beyond the Conversation.
Who might that guest be?
Oh, this actor that's appeared in shows like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, The Boys. His name is Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh my god.
Yes.
I love that guy.
Gustavo Fring.
That's how I know him.
Like, me personally, that was my favorite character in Better Call Saul.
Really?
He was just interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like, what differentiates him from Breaking Bad?
The fact that I've seen all of Better Call Saul and I'm still getting through Breaking Bad.
That's so true. Yes, yeah.
He's not even in Breaking Bad yet
right.
for me.
Yeah.
So, hey, we'll get there eventually.
That's a pleasant surprise for you.
Well, what did he say during Beyond the Conversation? What did he conversate about?
He spoke on a whole lot of things, but I think the first thing that is really notable about his appearance here is his energy was just, like, through the roof. Like, it was kind of insane the way that he mobilized the crowd. Like, from the moment that he walked in, everybody's on their feet. He got people yelling. And it reminds you that these actors are theatrical in a way that people can't really be.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's an insane amount of charisma that someone like this carries.
Right, like, that much stage presence. Mm-hmm. Even, like, looking at the photos when editing the paper, like, mm-hmm. I could feel his aura through the screen because, he was radiating so much of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's super infectious.
Yeah. I always forget that, like, screen actors are also just, like, theater kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they all have the same vibes, and then I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, it makes sense.
Yeah. So what did this awesome theater kid talk about in his conversation?
He weaved through a whole lot of topics, but he had this overall theme of awareness about yourself and your surroundings and how a high level of awareness can kind of, like, carry you to be, like, more of yourself and land in higher positions. Like, well, first he started off talking about a bit of his background. And if you guys don't know, he was born in Europe to a opera singer and a stagehand. Mm. So he was around a lot of creatives growing up. He'd go to, you know, theater shows, poetry readings, things like that. And so it gave him this appreciation for the creative things in life, which spurred his interest in acting and all of that. And so for him, there's in life a very big emphasis on creative things and artistry. And that really is evident in the way that he talks about everything. Like, just addressing the general state of things, he spoke on it in a way where he kind of can transcend, like, the current issues we may be facing in society and think about things in a big picture way that's mm-hmm. like, wow, mm-hmm. that's insightful.
Yeah, so, like, in line with working, like, with directors like Spike Lee, do you feel like, did he talk about how his, like, view of the industry has changed in working with, like, really prominent actors and directors around him?
Yeah, he did talk about a big perspective change when he started working with Spike Lee, and it was that dealing with these stories about, like, societal change and oppression and systematic justice and all that, he discovered a part of himself within the characters that he's portraying, and it allowed him to tap into that deeper and become more aligned with the characters that he's playing. And he said that those roles with Spike Lee were pretty fundamental to who he is now.
Yeah, so in this big perspective change, does that kind of change how he maneuvered through life as well? Or, like, were there any, like, sort of impacts or anything he imparted in terms of that kind of wisdom?
Yeah, one of the big things I noticed throughout the talk is that, like I was saying earlier, he intertwines all these topics together, and he does so with this, like, spirituality to it, where when he's talking about like people and things and consciousness, he relates it back to like the stars and the ocean and the earth and your presence here as a being.
Like kind of a more expansive look on like how everyone kind of fits into the system.
Yeah, like some like an interconnectedness.
I feel like a lot of times when someone's like an industry professional, they lose touch with like the metaphysical and stuff. So it's like, I don't know, it's kind of cool to hear like representation of someone who like genuinely believes in that stuff, like that is taken so seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice to hear, like you guys said, from someone who's so high up, but like then you hear back about his past, about how like creative arts are so ingrained with him, and you realize like it's very genuine for someone like this.
Yeah. His like perspective seems very grounded in like his, not only his upbringing, but also the experiences he's had along the way in terms of like building his career, but also like just expanding into like his family life and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Did he speak on any of, like, his family life or anything like that in the article? I saw that his daughters were mentioned.
Yeah, he did shout out his daughters because on the topic of sort of, like, that awareness, he was talking about his shortcomings. And what he did recognize is that when it came to things like people that he wasn't super familiar with, like, of different ethnicities, mm-hmm. he had sort of an old school way of thinking. And he attributed that to his father, who was an old school Italian man. Mm. But he said that he came to a better, more aware understanding of things like that through his daughters, who he said brought him up to speed, so to speak.
Did he speak on any specific ways his daughters helped bring him up to speed in terms of like working in today's industry or climate?
Yeah, he talked about the ways that they got him to accept change as a good thing and something to accept rather than to fight back against. And through this kind of reasoning, he came to the realization that those ways that he thought before, they weren't his ways of thinking. They were someone else's that mm-hmm. was imparted onto him, and he had to shed that.
Mm. That sounds like it plays into like the whole self-awareness that he was talking about and understanding like your place versus someone else's place.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say like this all like, it all somehow loops back to the, like the ideals of the metaphysical and this whole like, you know, we are all one like type thing.
Yeah, this mm-hmm. like this grounded kind of oneness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and in line with that, at some point, he was referring to student growth, and he called it evolution, and I thought that was really interesting.
It's good to describe, but, like, evolution is so much more on the nose to what students experience. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's a way more curated word for that.
Yeah, because I feel like with growth, it's sort of like saying you start at one place, and then you just move directly to the next place that comes after that, whereas, like, with evolution, it's sort of like where you start can change in terms of, like, the situation you're in or how you feel about the situation you're in. So to kind of move through that and, like, build upon what you've learned and, like, sort of recalibrate the way you look at the world based on the experiences you've had. Like, I think that evolution is a great, like, it's a really accurate word to, like, describe the student situation that a lot of people find themselves in.
Yeah, agreed.
What was the one thing that, like, you learned from him? What did Brian Jimenez learn from him?
I didn't realize that he was so theatrical with it, especially because his characters are so stoic and serious. Like, it was really interesting seeing him bouncing around the stage like that.
Yeah.
And, like, the way he speaks, too, like, he was just popping out with, like, beautiful prose out of nowhere, like, no script or anything. And it made you realize, sorry, made me realize that, like, some people are just super, super well-spoken.
That's awesome. That's, like, I think it's so funny how stuff like that is the reason why he's so good in, like, stoic characters, but they're so polar opposite of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he speak on, like, his ability to kind of create that contrast between living such a whimsical life and playing such, like, hard and serious characters?
Yeah, he did. He did speak for a good amount. And before doing that, he actually, like, he became Gus for a second before answering the question.
You saw a cool Gus impression live?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. But the way that he went about explaining it is that when he enters a scene, he has to embody that person, so he has to live as them. And when it comes to those characters and their stoicness, he says that it comes from a sense of security. Mm. And what that means is not so much like confidence in one's ability, but what he worded it as is comfort with the chaos, which is the uncontrollable parts outside of one's abilities.
That's very interesting, because Gus Fring, like,
obsessed with control.
Actually, yeah, that's actually going to be the exact opposite of him.
I do have a very important question for you. Mm-hmm. So, from what I know, this is your first time attending a Beyond the Conversation for the Daily Titan?
I attended the Van Jones event, but that was under a different name.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
But that's, like, politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, like, silly haha. You know what I'm saying, to some extent.
So, in line with it being silly haha, if you could bring one... If you could decide who's going to speak in the next Beyond the Conversation, who would you want it to be?
Oh... That's a great question. there are so many good options to choose from. Like, so many actors are popping off right now. Mm-hmm. Like, Timothée Chalamet is an easy answer, but that would be really sick. So I'd say that.
Okay. That is a great answer. I would love to hear him speak on, like, the path of greatness that he's on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would invite Juan Carlo back, but make him, like, do Beyond the Conversation in character as Gus Fring, I think.
That would be so...
So you would just bring Gus Fring for
Beyond the Conversation? Yeah, no. I would bring Gus Fring for Beyond the Conversation. Yeah.
I would raise you one. Mm-hmm. I want the Heisenberg. I want Brian Cranston in the building. But you know what else is in here? You, right now. We just wrap this one up.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey Titans, it is Sergio Gonzalez, the photo editor. There will be no Daily Titan newspaper published during spring break next week, but we will be back with a print issue on April 7th. Until then, follow us on all of our social media platforms at The Daily Titan and DailyTitan.com. Thank you.
Man, you hear about these ASI elections?
I have. There's a lot going on.
We might need an election tabloid. Someone here to help us break it down. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You're so right. Wait. Emily Wilson, our editor-in-chief, is here to help us break it down.
He read my mind.
I am here to talk about ASI elections.
Welcome back.
What do you want to lead off with? How did the elections go? What were the results?
Well, Hanifa Sayed and Juan Salguero have been elected Associated Students President and Vice President for the 25-26 school year next year.
Okay, sweet.
Honestly, we could have predicted this. They were endorsed by the current ASI president, Joe Morales. They had a whole host of, they had a whole big slate, Vote Titan Proud. So you could predict that they were going to win. They got almost 60% of the vote.
Wow.
But this election cycle, it started out with four different tickets running, and then Gavin Ong dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in ASI, he's the chair, he's super involved on campus. So he wasn't eligible for the election, he wasn't on the ballot. And then there were candidates Isabella Rawlison and Mario Lugo. And those were freshmen. They're involved with the Young Democratic Socialists of America, the student group. They really wanted to change a lot of things about ASI. They got 366 votes when the Hanifa's ticket got 1,000.
Wow.
And then the third ticket, Joel Garibe and Jades Rodriguez, they received 317 votes.
Mm.
And that ticket in particular caused quite the controversy. They were almost eliminated.
Yeah, so can you break down kind of this muddy water, the controversy that happened with the ASI elections?
Yeah, so it started in March with the Joel ticket. Joel currently serves on the board of directors as a College of Comm representative, representing us communication students.
Shout out.
And part of his job is to go to CICC meetings, Interclub Council, which basically manages all the comm-related clubs.
Right.
And he, at one of the meetings, he basically said, hey guys, vote for me.
Mm.
And that's not something you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to use your ASI power to influence elections.
Mm-hmm.
And someone filed a complaint, and it was heard at the Elections Judicial Council, which is basically a group of student leaders who kind of rule on these types of things. And they initially ruled that it was a Class A violation, which means that he was, his name was still going to be on the ballot, but all the votes weren't going to be counted.
Is Class A, the highest level of violation that can be had?
Yeah, it means you're disqualified from the race, basically.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then Joel and Jade, they appealed, and then they also did a whole host of other things. They had some complaints against different candidates, which I will get into.
Mm-hmm.
But Joel and Jade, this past Tuesday at the ASI Board of Directors meeting, they heard the appeal, and they actually reduced it to a Class B violation.
Okay.
The difference between Class A and Class B is essentially, whether or not it moderately affects the outcome of an election, or it extensively affects the outcome of an election.
That makes sense.
And they argued that Joel speaking at the CICC meeting with maybe 9 people present did not extensively affect the outcome of an election.
What were the other controversies that happened with the elections?
I can go over some big ones. There were 7 or 8, maybe 10. There were a lot of election complaints reviewed. There was a meeting a couple weeks back that I attended, Election Judicial Council meeting. That's where they were hearing all the complaints.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Vote Titan Proud ticket was there. Joe Morales, Juan, Hanifa, they were all there. They were dressed. So there was one big complaint against Joe Morales. Joe Morales, he's a junior right now. He's running for, or I guess he's won now, to represent Humanities and Social Sciences, mm-hmm. Board of Directors. That's what he did before presidency.
Mm-hmm.
What did he defend himself against? What were the complaints?
So one of the big ones, which was raised against this guy, Ezequiel Sanchez, who ran for Board of Directors representing the College of Business and Economics, there was a complaint that Morales basically incorrectly used ASI authority for campaign purposes, and he misled voters. Joe had posted something on his Instagram basically saying, it was like a long list, like a Notes app screenshot of all his accomplishments as ASI president. And at the top, he was like, I fought for these things. And then at the bottom, or like the list, one of the things was secured $111,000 in ASI scholarships funding.
And that's a bold claim to make.
Yeah, which they did. The right. ASI board of directors did, of which Joe Morales is not a voting member. Ezequiel Sanchez believed it was misleading that Joe Morales was claiming that he solely secured this. You know, it's in contrast to Shay Kwok, who is a Daily Titan account executive, but he does not control the editorial side at all. He also posted something to that effect, but he posted that he advocated for, mm-hmm. which is accurate. I'm sure Joe Morales advocated for this.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I would take that away.
But maybe he didn't solely secure it.
Right.
Yeah. But the way Joe Morales was defending himself, he was getting a little heated. And there were a couple of other complaints against him, but this one in particular, it ended up, none of the complaints at this meeting, like, they all got dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
This one got dismissed, but this was the most contested one. It was a 3-2 vote. So three people voted to dismiss it, and then two people voted to.
Okay.
Yeah, so Joe won the election. Like, at this point, he's good. He's earned his seat, but that was something that, there was a little animosity with it. It seemed that the Hanifa and Juan, you know, Vote Titan Proud group,
mm-hmm.
They felt that the Joel and Jade campaign was retaliating against them by like, oh, like, we're gonna get eliminated, well, I'm just gonna like do a bunch of nitpicky complaints against you guys now. And honestly, I wish I could put it into like some type of historical context, but this is the first time elections have been contested in like 2 or 3 years.
I was about to ask if this is a typical amount of complaints to receive during an election season for ASI, or like, is this like an unwarranted kind of thing now?
I'm honestly not too sure if there were any complaints like filed or received or upheld or anything in the past couple of years. But I do know that when Joe Morales ran, he ran unopposed. Mason, who was the president before him, she ran unopposed. So there wasn't necessarily a reason. I think the competition aspect of it all really played a part in, I will say, it is kind of tough for, cause the Elections Judicial Council is made up of 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
One of those people is Suzette Morales, who is the ASI vice president. Another one is, her name's Somi. She's on the board of directors. And then there's 3 kind of independently appointed people. But it's tough, especially as students, to be, like, purely unbiased when, like, Suzette ran with Joe, and now she's ruling on whether or not he should, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, she can have the best intentions in the world, but those biases, they don't go away.
Right, like conflict of interest and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, you know, if people paid attention to this in the reasonable minds of voters, you know, they might ask some questions. But a lot of the people, in my opinion, who submitted the complaints, you know, I was at the meeting, I read the complaints. There were some had some merit, but they weren't as fleshed out as they could have been. And the Judicial Council can kind of, it's kind of giving them an out, because right. they can only rule on what's part of the complaint. And if the complaint isn't really phrased the best way, then they can be like, well, this is like not accurate.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up earlier with Joe's Instagram post. It's interesting how like one word or one phrase can like deter them from such success. I mean, that's politics. Yeah. That's the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. But like, it is interesting to see it reflected in, like, a small-scale, you know, student government.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, comparing Joe's story of, like, saying he, you know, he fought for these things as opposed to, I think it was Joel's who said he advocated for it.
Shay,
who said he had, like, advocated for it. It's funny how, like, those two connotations, like, could cost him everything.
Yeah.
So
I would say, though, Joe was not up for, like, a Class A violation.
Yeah.
They didn't argue that it extensively affected it. I think he was up for a Class C, which, honestly, like, it's like a 2-strike-you're-out system, and that would have been 1 strike.
Okay. Yeah. Like, a little slap on the wrist kind of thing. Like, don't do that again.
Mm. And, you know, if people paid attention, it might have been he might have been cooked, but
hey,
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. We're hitting the 25th episode soon. Really proud of you guys.
Whoa.
This is going to be our 22nd. I don't know about you. I'm feeling 22.
Whoa.
I can't speak on that. Personally, I'm feeling 21 today.
Mm. Were you feeling 21 yesterday?
I was, because it was my birthday yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa. Insane.
Everyone, all the listeners of the pod, we'll take a moment of silence so we can wish Kabir a happy birthday.
His 21st day on Earth.
Now that we wish Kabir a happy birthday, I think it's time for me to go.
Yes, we'll see you around.
See you around.
Yeah.
All right. See you around. All right, guys, next up, we're going to be allotting some time for opinion to talk about an opinion on just that, allotting time for extracurriculars during the school day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was written by Ingrid Melkor she's one of our staff writers, and she basically shared the opinion with us of, like, allotting a specific hour or like a flex period during the day that no classes are scheduled. That way people can do like clubs or extracurriculars during the day without having to like, you know, especially because we're a commuter campus, like it can be hard for people to attend all the clubs because they're always at night or in the evening and a lot of people work or go home. So this would allow for more of a like, you know, more encouragement towards extracurriculars. No,
definitely. I feel like as students, we're kind of given this like, if you want to get involved on campus, it's sort of like this unspoken ultimatum of like dedicating where your time goes in terms of like, do you go to class, or do you go to your meeting, or do you go to your event and this, that, and the other. So I feel like implementing this kind of like flexible schedule that gives students a specific time that allows them to go and attend what they want to would help out with students feeling more connected on campus because they know that they can not only have time, but make time to see like their friends or the people that they work with or other things like that in these like other situations outside of class, and they wouldn't have to miss out on material.
Yeah, one of her interviews, which was a department chair and a professor of American Studies, she was talking about how like we don't want to, as a campus, they don't ever want to put students in the position of like having to choose between class and an extracurricular because you shouldn't be missing your classes. But at the same time, a big bulk of the college experience and the value that comes with the degree is like networking and these relationships that you build within extracurriculars. And, you know, like, and we're not even talking about strictly just like clubs and stuff like that. It could be like meetings or like if you have an on-campus job or something like this, yeah. Like, you know, even for the Daily Titan and stuff like that, yeah. Like we just need time to do this stuff. And if classes are all day long and then you have work on top of that or you commute, it just gets hard as a student. No,
definitely. And especially coming from the perspective of people that have to organize these events, it's always difficult to find a time that's going to work for everyone that you want to have attend.
Yeah.
So to be able to have a built-in time in the schedule where you know, hey, I know these people are going to be free. I know that they're going to have the time to come out and do this. Like that would benefit the clubs a lot because they would not only find opportunity to get more growth, but they would find more opportunities to like just interact with their other club members or see members that don't get to come out often on a more consistent basis.
Yeah.
Dude. It's madness in here. You know what month it is? Be. You know what time
no.
it is?
No. Say it ain't so.
Dude, conferences are getting shaken up, including ours. The Big West is changing.
Could it possibly be March Madness?
It might just be. But I think there's something else afoot.
Mm.
I think we have a new school joining the conference. And you know who's here to tell us about that?
Who?
Nicholas Wire, our sports correspondent.
Nick, what's going on?
As always.
Yeah, welcome back. It's been a week of crazy news across the paper, but specifically for sports. Like you mentioned, Cal Baptist will be joining the Big West Conference in the 2026 and 2027 academic school year. That's when they'll be joining. And leaving the conference is UC Davis and Hawaii.
Both schools.
Whoa.
Yeah, both schools.
Kind so did the conference, did the total number of teams in the conference get reduced or am I missing something there?
So it was at 11. Mm-hmm. Now it's at 10.
Okay.
With them joining. And we don't know for sure, but there are conversations right now about more schools joining.
Okay. Do we have any like potential schools that we might know of that are going to be joining?
So I've heard Utah Valley, as a potential school. The Big West Commissioner, Dan Butterly, spoke about this. I participated in a Zoom meeting with him, and he said that there were conversations with other schools, other institutions, but he wouldn't name them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Just for the confidentiality and whatever, the ongoing talks, that way they don't get derailed or anything.
Right.
So.
With CBU joining, though, what do they bring to the table? Do they have any sports they're, like, known for? How do their stats kind of look compared to, like, Fullerton's?
So I actually asked that exact question to their athletic director, who was also part of the meeting, and their president, and basically said, here's the quote, "We're not going to dominate. We think we're a very good fit, though." And as far as competitiveness, they fit right in. If you look at the last couple of years dating back to the 2022-2023 season, they're 61-61-5 against us.
Wow.
So
oh,
it's
wow.
basically like,
oh, we're like
perfectly
neck and neck,
500.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, this will be interesting to see.
Now, us being the Big West.
Right.
Yeah.
Against Cal State Fullerton specifically, they are 11-10-1. So they have a little bit of an edge against us.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It's like iron sharpens iron, having two good teams in the conference. Like,
mm-hmm.
both are going to improve off that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's unfortunately looking like that time where the episode is now over. Be sure to pick up a copy of the Daily Titan on campus or check us out at dailytitan.com to read the articles mentioned and more. Thank you all for listening. And if you like us, we love you.
Don't go anywhere just yet, Titans. We still got to give a major thank you to everyone that helped out in putting on this episode. So first of all, we got to give a big old thank you to our executive producers, Isaiah Malari and Emily Wilson. Another big old thank you going out to Luis Vizcaino, our producer. Two more thank yous dedicated to our assistant producers, Raniel Santos and Michelle King, as well as another thank you being thrown out there to Bijan Shusterisade for providing the music in this episode. And another big old thank you to all of the listeners that tune into this episode. Thank you for staying in touch with what's going on our campus. Please make sure you pick up a copy of the Daily Titan on campus or check us out at the website, dailytitan.com. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned.